Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, in the first part of this chapter, Luke talks about Paul's actions, what he did. And from Luke, we learn that Paul was an encourager, he was a writer, he was a discipler, he was a worshiper. You remember a couple weeks back, we learned about some facets of the local church ministry. We learned about the Lord's Day, the Lord's people, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's message, and the Lord's power. We get all that from that first message that we looked at, Paul saying goodbye to these believers from Ephesus. He was in Miletus, and he was about to go to Jerusalem, and they would see him no longer. And so he had a message for them. Well, then he described, last week, he described some of his work, what he did. He talked about his example, the movements that he made on the journey, his manner. Remember, Paul described himself as a bondservant. He didn't have a title that he was demanding respect for. He was a servant, a bondservant, and he served in humility. And we learned about his message. We learned about his motive. His motive was to please the Lord. We see that in verse 24 of Acts chapter 20. So he's in Miletus. As a matter of fact, they have a slide. I'd like you to see the third missionary journey slide, if they have that. And you can see he's down here. I hope you can see this. He's in Miletus, right there where it says Asia. Go all the way down to that bottom and go to the left. You see a little town, Miletus. That is where he called for the elders of the church at Ephesus. Right above Miletus is the city of Ephesus. And he had been there for 3 years, and he had written from there some books of the Bible, and now he is going to say goodbye. So in some ways, this is Paul saying goodbye to that church, part three. But in this, the third part of this is that he is actually going to speak to them. Okay? So I'm going to read this text of Scripture. This is Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 26, and we'll go to the end of the chapter, all right? You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed. He gives an imperative, a command. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Paul here leaves a challenge to these elders. Now, these are the pastors of the churches in Ephesus, and he had called for all of them. The Bible says he had appointed elders in the churches, and he had loved these people. He had ministered to them. Timothy, The young Timothy eventually led out in the church at Ephesus. And so he was calling them at this last meeting to say goodbye. So he's talking to pastors, he's talking to elders, and we're going to talk about those words that are in this text today. But I think there's some lessons about all leadership. Dad, you're a leader in your home. And some of these lessons about being a pastor or being an elder at the church at Ephesus are in many ways, you are the priest of your home. You may lead a Bible class. You may lead any organization. You, as a leader, there are lessons here that you can learn. And I think it's very important, especially you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to take heed to the things that Paul says in these lessons. He uses the word watch. Look at verse 31, therefore watch. I'm going to talk a little bit about that particular flavor of command that he is giving to these leaders, because I think it applies to all of us as we seek to lead out. No matter what position you're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your home, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your work, leadership is important. So he gives us some things here that we can talk about, all right? Here's the first thing. Number one, watch your conscience. I want you to look at verse 26. He says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Now that is an amazing statement to make. He says in verse 26, therefore I testify to you, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. That is an amazing statement. As a pastor, I want that to be true of me, but I kind of coil back from being able to say that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says to those in Rome, he says, I am a debtor to all men. He speaks here, this is an amazing statement, and it speaks of the obligation. Now, Christian leader, aspiring leader, pastor, leader of your home, let me tell you something. What an amazing obligation that you have to make sure that you in a winsome way and in an appropriate way and in a strong way deliver the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ to those you lead. It is a solemn assignment. It is a solemn assignment for a pastor. It is a solemn assignment for a Christian. Paul says he's debtor to all men. In other words, I owe it to every man, every person, to get them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I pray that we get under that load as a church family. We are going to celebrate tonight all that the Lord is doing in our church, and we talk about it on Sunday mornings when we say that the Lord has challenged us to take the gospel to the world. We want that to be part of our mission, part of what we're all about. We are in debt to all men that because we have the gospel. What would you think of someone who had the cure for cancer and they kept it to themselves? They bottled it up and they hid it back in some room somewhere, never to share with the world how the world could be free from cancer. You would say that person, that is one of the most evil concepts that could ever happen. Someone would have the cure to cancer. Well, can I tell you something? There's something worse than cancer. And what's worse than cancer is the result of sin in the lives of people, and it sends them to hell without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Think about it. Eternity without Jesus Christ. And so he says, watch your conscience. He's going to tell them in verse 28, he's saying, I'm going to say to you, take heed to yourselves. And I think he's reaching back and saying, look, for me, I can say that I have a clear conscience. That's our obligation to the lost. I have a clear conscience. In verse 26, he says there, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Now, he's hearkening back to, you may not have time to dig and find it, but in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6, let me read these verses, and he's hearkening back to a passage in Ezekiel that talks about the watchman. Have you heard this phrase? The watchman on the wall? Shake your head if you've heard that. All right, good. You know what I'm talking about. And in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. In other words, if you appoint a watchman and I'm on the wall and I see the enemy coming and I go, boy, that was the... I just blew my whole sermon. Man, I need a real trumpet. Of course, I couldn't blow it either. But the point is, you hear that trumpet sound. Maybe I'll say it that way. That's got a little more oomph to it. And the people hear it and they say, the watchman is telling us there's an enemy coming. He says if the enemy comes and they lose their life, then their blood is on their, or they don't abide by what the trumpeter says, the watchman says, and they end up dying. Their blood is on their own head, is what he's saying. Verse 5 of Ezekiel 33 says, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. All right? But he who takes warning will save his life. He hears that trumpet. Da-da-da-da! And he takes warning. He flees. He gets away from the enemy. Well, he will save his life. But listen to this. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood, listen, I will require at the watchman's hand. Well, honestly, I shudder when I read this. Because in many ways, as a pastor, I'm a watchman. I'm supposed to be on the wall for you. And can I tell you this? If you are a leader or you aspire to be a leader for Jesus Christ in your home, in your world, you are a watchman. Paul says, I'm a debtor to all men. I owe it. I know the truth. I know Jesus Christ. He changed my life as a teenage boy. Woo! It's never been the same since. Why would I hold back in telling everybody I could tell that the enemy is coming and they need Jesus? That's what Paul is, that's the analogy he's bringing into this text. He's talking to these Ephesian people, these leaders, and he's saying, I'm not going to see you again. Let me tell you some things you need to do. He says, first of all, I want you to watch your own conscience. Will you have a clear conscience that you've done everyone, that you've shared with everyone you can share with? Folks, let me just say this to you. You have people in your family that do not know Jesus. I've lived long enough to know, don't wait. You go to them and you tell them about Jesus. You tell them about Jesus with a tear in your eye. You tell them that they need Christ. They need to know Jesus in a personal way. And one day out in eternity, they will thank you. They will be glad that you told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not cower back and hold back from people that need to know Christ is real. So he talks about an obligation to the lost. He says, I'm a debtor to all men. But there's also an obligation to the saved. He said in verse 27, I haven't shunned. He says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Or that phrase, the whole counsel of God, means the purpose and the plan of God. I have not shunned. I did not shrink back or avoid declaring to you the whole counsel of God. It's an obligation. Why are we so excited about Sweet Mary learning Scripture? Because we're reinforcing what Rob and Holly are trying to teach her in their home about Jesus, and that Jesus has a plan for her life. And that's why we take it seriously, that of what we teach our children here, and that's why we celebrate that. Let me just say this to us as a church family, to me as a pastor, to us as a family here. We need to give our young people the true story. We don't need to candy coat it. We need to tell them that if they live for Christ, it may be tough, but they'll be glad they did. I've never known someone who lived, surrendered to Christ their whole life, who came to the end of their life and said, boy, I really messed up. I missed out on so much. No, most of the time they're saying, I missed out on so much because the Lord protected me and guided me. But this old world holds up its trinkets and its glitter and everything, and our young people look at that, and they're looking at that world, and then they're looking to the church, and they're wondering, what's our message? We've got to give them the full story. We've got to tell them the truth. We have an obligation, and Paul says, look, check your conscience. Do you have a clear conscience that you're telling the truth to the lost out there and that you're telling the truth to the saved, all right? So we are to, number one, watch your conscience in verses 26 and 27. Here's number two. Watch yourself and those you lead. Look at verse 28. He says, take heed. That means guard yourself. It's real easy to only have a burden for those that you can tell something to do, someone, you can tell them what to do. You know what you need to do? You need to look in the mirror and make sure you got your own self right. Paul says, guard yourself, and it's an imperative. He says, take heed. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What is it they say in the airplane? This just came to me. You get in the airplane, they say, now we want you to help if the air thing comes down and you have to breathe. We want you to put it on yourself first. I did get that right? Okay. You put it on yourself first. Then you put it on your child. Because you may be trying to get it on a child and you can't breathe yourself and you pass out and they don't get it either. Paul is saying to us, listen, you've got to guard yourself. You've got to watch yourself. Take heed. And then he says there, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. So that's those you lead, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, this is one of the words in the Bible. There are three words in the Bible. There's the word for elder, which is a person that leads and is respected because of the way they lead. And then there is this word here, overseer, which is where we get the word bishop. Okay? Now, There's another word, pastor, and it's talking about the flock. Look at this. This is all right here in these two verses. Take heed, this is verse 28, yourselves to all the flock. That word has with it the word pastor in it, okay? Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and that word shepherd has with it the concept of a pastor too. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So there are three designations, as best we understand from the New Testament, for a pastor. There is the pastor, there is an elder, there is a bishop. So I'm expecting you to say Bishop Calvin. No, not really. But the truth is, we see that in Scripture as sort of as three different ways those people are described that lead in the church. And he says to them, he says, you need to take heed to yourself and to the flock because the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. You are in function. You are a bishop, all right? It means to look for. The idea of overseer means to look for, to care for. And then in verse 28, the word shepherd over a flock, that's what the pastor's role is. He's like an under-shepherd. Who is our chief shepherd? The Lord Jesus. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. But I'm an under-shepherd as a pastor. And so anyway, he's talking about these roles here. And he says, but you can't take care of them unless you take care of you. And he says, let me just tell you, elders, he says, guard yourself. Now, let's apply that to all of us in leadership. If you, in any type of leadership you have spiritually in the church, you cannot lead people to go any deeper or higher than you go yourself. You've got to have a walk with Jesus. You've got to have a time with Jesus. You've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says you need to do that because the Lord has purchased that flock, that church of God in verse 28 with his own blood. Now, one of the reasons we need to do that is because we've got to watch for enemies from without. Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, remember Paul's about to leave and they're not going to see him anymore. I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, I have it marked here, so if you want me to read it, I'll just read it. But if you want to turn there, look at Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. They may put it up on the screen. It says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In other words, do you go to a thorn bush and get a fig? Okay? Do you go to a thorn bush and get a grape? No, you don't do that. You know if it's a legitimate, tree by the fruit that it bears. So he says one of the reasons we have to watch for ourselves and watch for our flock, those we lead, is because we know that enemies will come. They'll come from without, but guess what? They'll come from within too. Look at verse 30. It says in verse 30, also from among yourselves. That means maybe in here. From among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. That the word perversion means to twist. You know, that's the Satan twists things. And it means they will speak perverse things, or you can think about it this way, they will speak misleading things. One of the jobs that you have in your home as a leader of your children is to decipher the twisted things that are being said to our children that need to be corrected. One of the things that I have to do as a pastor trying to shepherd myself and shepherd our flock is to make sure that from within and from without, things are not being said that are misleading, but we're staying on focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a doctrinal obligation. And he says, watch for the enemies from without, watch for the enemies from within who speak perverse things, verse 30. And then it says to draw away disciples after themselves. And the idea is to lure. The word to draw away means to lure. It's to lure people away to themselves. And most of the time, it's a money thing. Most of the time, it's a money thing. And the reason I know that is because he's later going to talk about how he made sure he cleaned the deck on that. And he said, look, I wasn't around you for money. I wasn't around you for money. Paul was a tent maker. We'll get to that in a minute. But these people, they're from among themselves, and they draw away disciples after themselves. Folks, we need to always be in prayer for our church family. Amen? We need to always be in prayer that we would link ourselves with the Word of God, and that we would make sure that we don't get off on tangents, things that will lure us away, that twist the truth, and lure us away from our assignment of what we're to be about, the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, knowing that he will be with us always to the end of the age. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Well, actually, verse 2 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, Peter says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, They will exploit you with deceptive words. It's about stuff. They want stuff, okay? With deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So we see in this text here that we are to guard ourselves, take heed to ourselves, watch for the enemies from without, and then watch for the enemies from within. Now, we apply that in the local church. Our leaders look at things that are being said from the outside and then things that are being said from the inside and making sure we're on task. Praise God. Praise God. As best I know, we're teaching the Word of God. That is our desire, and there's unity in that in our church fellowship. But let's make sure we keep in prayer about that, because there have been times, probably in all churches, when there were things that were said that were twisted, okay, that were misleading. The word there, speaking perverse things, means misleading things, okay? And then, not only are we to do that, thinking about those that are from without and those from within, but then in verse 31, we do it with many tears. Look at verse 31. He says, therefore watch, there's that word again, be a watchman on the wall, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He uses that analogy of being up on that wall. And we need to do that. We need to make sure we warn the lost world that they need Christ. We need to make sure we give the full counsel of God to the believers. But he did it with many tears. When I was in high school, I had come to know Jesus as my Savior. And I was in the class of a man who was an older man who was my teacher. His name was Howard Marshall. And many of the guys that came to North Central from Jacksonville that were in my class, there were many of them came to UF, and this guy was their teacher. And a lot of those guys came here and they went to North Central Baptist Church. I was one of them. And I praise God for my time here. You guys nurtured me and blessed me, and you were the watchman for me while I was a student at the University of Florida. Well, I remember being in Brother Marshall's class. He got saved on the bow of a ship in World War II, and he said that he was asked to fill in for the youth for 2 weeks. They said, Brother Howard, will you fill in? Our teacher has stepped down. We just need you for 2 weeks. He said, I've been doing it 50 years. That's the way we recruit, by the way. If anybody ever comes up to you and says, will you do, just fill in, just know you're making a commitment. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding you. We may need you just for a few weeks. But the point is, this man taught young men, but he would get up and he'd write on the chalkboard, and he would take a Bible and he would start talking about Jesus. And when he did, his lip would start to shake. And I was just a teenage boy. I was ready to get out of there and go have lunch, and I was ready to go shoot hoops, and I was ready to go do stuff. But I cannot tell you hardly any lessons that he taught. But I know one thing, he taught me with tears. And I stood and I sat down in that chair, and I looked up there, and Brother Marshall would start talking about his salvation and start talking about Jesus and the love that he had for the Lord, and his eyes would well up with tears and his lip would start to shake. And I remember sitting there thinking, the relationship that he has with Jesus, I want. Paul says, for 3 years, night and day, I warned you. And I warned you with tears. Live for Jesus Christ. You'll be glad you did. Trust in Jesus Christ. You'll be glad you did. Sell out to Jesus Christ and live no matter what this old world says. And he did it for 3 years. And he said, I want to remind you that I did that with tears. One guy wrote William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and they said, I've preached your sermon, and when you preached it, all these people came forward and got saved. He said, when I preached it, nothing happens. He goes, you have any suggestions? And Booth wrote back a two-word letter. He said, "Try tears." So the Apostle Paul did it with tears. And then ultimately, he gave them to God. Look at verse 32. He's about to get on the boat. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God." Ultimately, as a leader, you know what you try to do? You watch your conscience. You try to do everything you know to do. You pray, you preach, you share with your family, you, whatever leadership role you're in, you do everything you know to do. But you know what ultimately you've got to do? You've got to ultimately commend them to God. You've got to give them to God. And that's what he did. He ultimately gave them to God in verse 32. "And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." And then here's the third thing quickly. Well, let me say this. I heard this story. A group of servicemen, they asked their new chaplain if he believed in a real hell for lost sinners. And he smiled and he told them that he did not. "Then you are wasting your time," the men replied. "If there is no hell, we don't need you." And he said, "If there is a hell, you're leading us astray. Either way, we're better off without you." Now listen, folks, as a leader, you've got to decide, do you really believe what the Bible teaches about heaven and hell? Do you really believe that if a young person sells out to Christ and lives for him, he'll be glad he did? Or are we just tiptoeing around this thing? The point is, Paul said, look, he said, "I had to take heed. I want you to watch yourself, and I want you to watch those you lead," all right? So here's the third thing, and we'll be done. Watch your motives. Don't be greedy. He says in verse 33, he says, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel." The word covet means a consuming and controlling desire for what others have and for more of what we ourselves already have. He's talking to these elders, and he's saying to them, listen, you've got to watch your motives. He said, don't be greedy. Look at verse 34. "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands," he's pointing to his own hands, "these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me." Paul was a leather worker. Paul was a tent maker. And Paul went in there. And the scholars say that in this period of time, there were so many charlatans out there that were spiritual, supposedly spiritual people, and all they wanted, they were greedy, and all they wanted was the resources of the people. And so Paul said, look, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm not going to go in there, and you won't have to support me one iota. He said, I'm going to work for it. And he's telling these elders, and he's telling us as leaders, he said, watch your motives. Don't be greedy. Covetousness is idolatry. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man," who is an idolater, it likes it to idolatry, "has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ." So he says, don't be greedy. The second thing is, don't be lazy. In verse 34, he talks about, "These hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give and to receive.'" Dr. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on this passage, says this, says it's not wrong for Christian workers to receive salaries. For in Luke 10:7 it says, "For the laborer is worthy of his hire." But then he says this, "But they should be certain that they are really earning those salaries." Hard work. Hard work. And avoiding laziness. And Paul says, look, he says, "I want you to know that I came in there, I didn't ask for anything." And he said, "I worked hard with my own hands." He said, just remember that. It's a great lesson in leadership. It's a great lesson in leadership. And then, don't be greedy, don't be lazy, and be a giver. He says, remember what Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Then the conclusion of our text, and we'll end with this, is in verse 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. There was evidently such a love between Paul and these believers. The kind of love that ought to be in a church family, one to another. The kind of love that ought to be in a home because of the leadership in a home. And this was the type of, this was the kind of leader that Paul was. He watched his conscience. He watched himself and those he led. And then he watched his motives. What are his motives? It's very important. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, first of all, in chapter 21, we're going to move it to next week. And we're going to talk about how that Paul, he goes on and he ends up in Jerusalem. And he ends up ultimately down the road in the book of Acts. He's going to be beheaded in Rome. This was the last time he was going to see these believers face to face. But oh, what a connection he had with these believers. Well, the last book of the Bible that he wrote, the very last epistle, you think about all that Paul wrote, the great book of Romans, the Colossians, Ephesians, all these. The last book he wrote was the book of 2 Timothy. Who did he write it to? He wrote it to his young son in the Lord. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. He's talking to his young son in the Lord. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. You know what he's referencing? He's referencing what our passage is about. He's referencing that when he got those people from Ephesus there and he gave them a challenge, he talked about what he had done himself and then he gave them that challenge. They fell on his neck, and the Bible says in our passage that they cried freely. My text says in verse 37, they wept freely, and it means much. In other words, it wasn't that there's a couple of tears. They were boo-hooing. They were crocodile tear crying. They were really crying, and it shows the love and the care. Now, I would just say this to you in our fellowship here. The longer you serve and alongside the people of this church, you know what's going to happen? You're going to develop this type of love and relationship for one another. You're going to sense that. And one day, if we send them off, we feel that way in many ways about John and Molly. When John and Molly were here, they were serving right alongside of us, and the Lord called them out. Now, thank the Lord, we don't have to say what Paul had to say: I will see you no more. We're seeing them right now. But I want to encourage all of our church family. Come alongside the people of God in this fellowship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ alongside the people here. It takes time. But you develop a lifelong pile or bucket full or experiences that build upon one another. And you develop a commitment and a love for your church and for the people of your church like never before. This is what happened in Ephesus. And when they finally realized he was going to get on that boat, they said, wait a minute, one more time. And Paul prayed for them. The Bible says they fell on his neck and they wept freely. But Paul gave us some commands as leaders. He said, watch, guard yourself, and guard the flock. Watch your conscience, watch yourself, and make sure you watch your motives. great lessons in leadership. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.